So, you know, Lane just said he was at church and wanted us to think about consistency in the pulpit, you know, energy from the worship service, and then the classes thing. And the classes thing, I think he just misheard that that's really, you know, not an issue. So, and the consistency in the pulpit, you know, I don't know, you know, when we're putting the batting order together, you know, I think, you know, Steve Autry, you've been doing a great job. I think it's gone really well. But I do think it's something to keep in mind if we, you know, think we're going to go through Q1 without any standard minister, that, you know, how do we manage that? You know, how do we keep some consistency of either quality or speaker out there? And so, you know, I don't know if you guys have thoughts on that.
Let me first say, this sounds horrible, but I'm considering the source.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, I have question marks about Luke Lane.
Sure.
Back several years ago, you know, when we started doing some things he didn't like, he said that they're pulling, their family's leaving. You know, and some things like that, and some other things that have been done, and then again, his connection with Eric,
right? And I'm not saying we have to do anything, but I just it's a data point.
Yeah. I guess we can see it as a data point, but again, between us, I'm considering the source, and you know, and Elaine is a very smart guy,
right?
And so he may have been referring there to Melanie, because she preached that day.
Yeah.
He let Don in, Brett. Don's trying to get in.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. That's right. I've got the power.
There he is. Okay.
Hey, Don.
So do we know for sure that Dave and Brad have gotten the message?
Yeah, Brad is on currently, but he hasn't been able to unmute himself.
So he's on? Okay.
Yeah, Dave, I know he had seen, was emailing back and forth, but he has not responded since the Zoom.
Does somebody have his email and can text him just to notify him? But
I'll do that.
Yeah, Stephen McLawner at the building in case somebody does show up.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, Don, we're kind of going in reverse order, just some of the lighter stuff till we get
I'll be back.
Quorum.
I got to go check the tow truck.
And we just wanted to comment on, you know, Lane Ham sent an email just on his experience at worship here last week, and just throwing it out, you know, is this something that we need to consider? I don't know if we need to spend a lot of time on it, but just, you know, he's somebody that spent a lot of time at the church, and just something to consider, a data point.
Yeah, and Brett, I was telling Steve earlier, some of the things that I was thinking about whenever I was reading the email and then thinking through Melanie's sermon, because so my assumption is that the only point of reference he has is the week that he was there when Melanie was the preacher.
Uh-huh.
The thing about it is that as I went through her sermon, I mean, there's generally nothing that she said that was undoctrinal.
Right.
But there were two things that could cause red flags. Number one was the way she opened, and she talked about the idea of she's the next one in line. She's the she's not a preacher by any means. She's just the host for the week.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that sort of took, that was like red flag number one. So at that point, Lane, who is a professional, he's like, okay, so you have red flag number one. And then throughout the whole sermon, generally speaking, there's nothing that you could have problems about until at the very end, she says something that can be considered doctrinally wrong. And she talks about the old earth factor. Lane is a very older, he's from a conservative background. He's a young Earth person, I would assume. And when she talks about old Earth and that like 10 million years old or whatever it was that she said for the Grand Canyon, at that point, I know a lot of people's ears would have been red flag number two. And so some of the wording that he says in here makes me think that that's what he's thinking. Because unless he's been listening to other sermons, those were the only two things that I could find that I could consider people to be problem by if you were to think through it. And then she's a female, but
yeah. Okay.
But that's not a.
All right.
I assume that it wasn't that. Those are the three things that I came up with about the consistency in the pulpit, and it's just more of a complaining about one person versus complaining about the process that we're using. But
yeah.
So, okay. And then another thing that I thought about was he said, rotate your most dynamic speakers consistently. And I, one of those would be Eric, and we haven't asked him to do anything else at this point. And I know Eric and he talked about it because Eric is the one that volunteered. He thought that Sunday was a pretty flat, and he told me all the things that had gone on.
All right, we can just take it as a data point. And Don, I thought your daughter did an amazing job. I thought Melanie just did terrific. I thought she did amazing.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes. Yes. Now the energy of the service, I've kind of felt that. But I don't like criticizing worship because I think a big part of it is the consumerism versus the heart.
Yeah.
And so I can speak out of both sides of my mouth with this. But I did feel like it's been a little flat, and it could be the choice of songs. I don't know. And the Labor Day, Susan and I went down to Abilene, and we were with Adam and Valerie at the church they go to. It's a very younger church. And I got home and realized we're an old church with old worship. And that next time Sunday I was there, the average age was probably 60 years old. But that's what we've got. I don't know. I've thought a lot about that, and some of that I can agree with them, but I don't know what to do about it. We use what we have, the gifted people we have, and I don't want to criticize any of them.
Right.
Or even Kaylin, and I guess she's the one that chooses a lot of the songs. So
it depends on the leader of the week. So if it's Brian, like this, that week it was Brian leading. So Brian was the one that chose most of those songs. This week, Chris Fuller chose most of the songs. So generally it's the leader of the week choosing them. And then Kaylin will supplement if they need help, but which may be part of the problem because you're sort of, it's not a, because before it used to be with Jeff and Kaylin together thinking through them all and whoever the leader was. And now Jeff isn't there necessarily putting his two cents in.
Yeah.
And we've sort of let Kaylin guide that process, I think. Yeah. And then Steve, I know, is starting to work into it. But
I think, Don, you are too, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Jason also gave us some feedback on our worship service. He said he used some a little more contemporary service when he watched our service.
Yeah. Right. So, right. Yeah.
So I think, again, Kaylin's doing a great job, and, you know, I think we're doing great with what we've got, but, you know, hopefully we can keep bringing some energy. I just wanted to take a minute, though, to follow up on Steve's point, because that was one of the other comments I had on here. And I hope you guys can see that, just aging congregation. And, you know, we definitely want to focus on next gen, but the an aging congregation is not necessarily a bad thing. So the demographics in the United States is there's a big wave of baby boomers, you know, cycling through the system. People are having less kids. And so the majority of Americans are now elderly. And a lot of our visitors are elderly. And I think this is something we shouldn't run from, but we should lean into it. And I think, you know, we should have sermons on what's it mean to be retired. You know, is that to be self-serving, or, you know, is that to use it to focus on ministry, things like that. So I just wanted to make a comment that, yes, we have an older congregation, but I don't see that as a bad thing. And I think we should lean into it as much as we can.
Yeah, I would say, I think it's a bad thing if that's all we've got, because we're going to die. If we're not reaching out to try to get younger families, then it is a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I say, yeah, next gen is is definitely a worthy goal, but not to turn our backs on, you know, what our, it seems to be our prime demographic, you know, and I think we should recognize that as a big demographic.
Yeah. I guess I feel like, as we look for another minister, as we really look towards reaching out, that our main emphasis should be bringing the younger families. Because we will naturally have a lot of things for the older people. The fellowship is who's there, and most of it is older people. I feel like, yeah, we are an aging congregation, but we need to change, turn that tide as soon as we can, or we will die.
Well, I don't see.
I agree with you, Steve. I think that maybe right now one of the things we're trying to find that sweet spot where we're trying to balance that as well. But if you do some of the research and read about congregations that, I'll just use this word, growing, a lot of the worship focus is really not on, you know, what the people there, what satisfies someone who's already been through the process, who's already understand what it is to follow Christ. It's the service is geared toward people who are coming in seeking and looking, right? And so what should the service, if we want to be about that, how should our service evolve to be more like that? And I think that's one of the things. I think if we decide to move in that direction, I think just having a congregation get behind it, understand, let them understand what we're trying to do. I think the next gen emphasis is important, and I think we're going to talk a little bit about that. But I was also thinking that the how we reach our community, and you were talking about that Sunday, Brett, about how you were saying, "Hey, look at these empty seats. This is an opportunity. You know, right. Let's be praying for our neighbors, let's be praying for our friends, envision who might be sitting there." And so, you know, so I think that to me rings to like, okay, well, what do we need to be doing in worship to make sure when they come that they can be, that they can feel like they're welcome, you know, they're part of it. And we're, you know, we're trying to seek and help them take those next steps.
Okay. Steve, are you still waiting for the tow truck?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Because I want to talk about the plans for the candidate weekend. I just don't know if you've got time to, can you start talking about that?
Sure.
Okay.
And yeah, it's, you know, Steve can go ahead and fill you in if I have to leave. So okay. Go ahead, Steve.
So the weekend is going to start on Friday with informal dinner with the staff at the building, just around the conference table. Likely to be something very casual like pizza, right? And just an opportunity to just have some natural dialogue.
And who is staff?
Elizabeth, Nathan, Jeff, myself, Kaylin, those okay. are okay. people. And so that's Friday. And the first Friday, the 15th, Acts will still be active. And so that's the Friday that Jason is coming in, and so if there's an opportunity for him to visit the Acts group wise here, we will make that available to him as well. And then Saturday morning.
Well, so on Friday evening, it's just the candidate.
Candidate and wife and the staff.
Okay.
And Steve and myself.
And then the Steves will be there also.
Yeah. And then Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, we'll do the round table like on the fourth floor, where we'll have the elders couple and then the candidate and wife there as well. And
elder couple, what do you mean by that?
The elder couples like you and Michelle.
So all of us? So we'll have all the elders for the breakfast and all of the elders for the dinner as well?
Well,
because before we split up.
It's not going to be a breakfast. It's probably going to have some coffee and some, you know, donuts there. It's not going to be like a formal breakfast. It's going to be what we've done in the past. We had the semicircle just sit around and talk, you know. So that's 9 o'clock.
So, Brett, that's like the real interview to appoint for the elders. The evening is actually the ministry leaders. So it's not the elder. So the elders are there, yes, but and the elder couples are there, but it's more for ministry leaders like it was for Ethan that time, I think, from my understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be the evening. That would be 6 o'clock Saturday evening, probably 6 to 8, where it would be a little bit different, where we will have them an opportunity to meet and greet and then have an opportunity for questions, just like we did with Ethan. And then Sunday morning, they will preach on...
So on Saturday, who's the MC for that?
Well, Steve would be the MC for Jason, and then I'll do the MC for John.
Okay. And, I mean, that's going to be very important because I remember with Ethan, you know, you're going to have to do a lot of crowd management, so just heads up on that one.
So that's Saturday evening. And then Sunday morning, the elder will join... The candidate will join us in the elders meeting prior to preaching. He'll come in. We'll spend some time there praying and just see if there's any final questions he may have. And then he'll preach on God's faithfulness. Both of them have the same subject matter, so God's faithfulness. And then the Bible study will be grace and mercy. They both have the same subject matter with grace and mercy.
Steve, one question about that, because I know that Betty is teaching on that this coming Sunday.
Yep.
Because that's so we're having that 3 weeks in a row then in Bible class.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will have 3 weeks in a row. It's a pretty broad subject, so I wouldn't anticipate we'll cover the same information.
Yeah, but I could see them saying the exact same things. So that's where we may want to try to find a passage that each of them can use for it, letting that be the main thought, because it will be very repetitive, I think, if they're going to go through the definitions of what grace and mercy is and doing things like that. You're right that it could be very wide, but it could be very duplicating of the same thing if they're just repeating them each other.
I think you would have at least 3 different perspectives. I mean,
correct, but you could spend most of the time definition and doing definitions, and that would be...
I don't think that the definitions would hurt to be repeated. I think the important thing will be it would be 3 different perspectives from 3 different people.
Yes.
And I think could be very revealing, you know.
Yes.
That's good. That's
what even if it is somewhat repetitive, again, I don't see that as a hindrance of any sort.
Right. And so Steve, a question on Jason. So you know, we talked about a couple options with him. You know, one of them, hey, just have him come up and see St. Louis, spend time with us. So you've already discussed that with him. He's preaching and,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we made a decision. Once we met John, we said, hey, let's just bring them both in. And we changed course with Jason because of that reason.
Yeah. And so I talked with him about that, and he was okay with it because he realizes our time frame with everything. And so, so we talked to him about that.
And that's the other question I have is our time frame. So what is the understanding on time frame?
Well, I think we have to look at their individual situations, and I know it's a little more complicated with Jason, but my opinion is if we decide he's the guy, we work with him and we figure it out. If it takes him a little longer to get there, if he's our guy, that's okay. We work with whatever, you know, because we're dealing with a foster child and a wife who's finishing up a PhD. Those are two pretty significant things. And I don't think we want to bulldoze either of those. One, they could lose the child. Number two, you know, we put a lot of pressure on Megan. And so I think if we decide Jason's our guy, we work with him with whatever we need to do. And my opinion, that shouldn't be a factor in who we choose.
Well, Brett, can you let Dave in?
Oh, yeah. But Steve, I thought we talked a couple times that we would like to at least understand what his time frame is. If it's March, that kind of, it's a different thing. If it's January, that's something else. And I thought you were going to say, we're looking for somebody January. Can you do that? And
that
I thought
wasn't what all the elders said. That was something I think that you had said, but none of the elders said that. And I think I talked with him about it, and he said, I want to be real respectful of your timeline too. And so we just left it there.
We're going to have potentially the same problem with John. He's got school years to talk about.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right.
So in either case, I think there's going to have to be some give and take, and maybe it's the guys come here and preach a couple weeks, a month until school's out I just don't think we know enough to draw a line in the sand on either one of them, you know?
Right. And I'm not saying draw a line in the sand. It's just from the last meeting notes, my understanding was from the conversations that you and Dave Weiler, had this great comment we were going to talk to Jason and say, hey, we like you, but if it's going to be March, we need to keep looking at people. And, you know, if you're available in January, we are interested in, you know, definitely following up with you. But that's kind of what my understanding was from that last conversation is that, you know, if it's March, hey, we like you, but we can't stop the process.
Well, I think that certainly would be a conversation after these two weekends, you know, to say based on who we would want to go further with is their availability and our willingness to give either way. I mean, I think they're learning as much as we're learning, you know, about us.
Right.
And he may tell us after he visits that, you know, they are very flexible, or he may tell us they're not flexible at all. I don't know. I think they're making this weekend's important for their decision as much as it is for our decision.
Okay.
This is what I'm saying.
Brett, you can ask it on Saturday morning. That'll be the first question. What is your timeline like?
Yeah.
I do think the dynamics have changed a little bit in that when we were going to approach Jason, we didn't know that we were going to be ready to interview John. That came a little bit later where, we want to move forward with him. And so that kind of moves things along for Jason as well. So his willingness to come for a visit, that's really good, on a full interview weekend. Sorry to jump in here late, guys. I appreciate I went to the church.
Oh.
Didn't see the email in time. So, anyway.
Maybe you should come join us. Yeah. Steve and I are both here, too. You're going to go in one of our rooms.
So, my thought on that, or my question is, and I think McGlon shared it, was if Jason comes in on the 17th and he hits a home run, bats it out of the ballpark, and he's not available to start till May, what are we going to do? And I think that was the problem. We've tried that before, and it's a one-sided option without a premium, and you know there's just a lot of risk. So what do we do in that situation?
I think we'd be creative. It could be something like he comes up 1 week a month, preaches 2 Sundays, as a part of an elders meeting. And so then it being going back and forth until he's able to make it up here. Or it's a gradual thing where we already have a commitment from him and he's already invested in his work here.
I think it's just what you said, Brett. If he hits a home run, we know he's the guy. We start talking about how we can make it work.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, like I said, it may take some give and take on both our parts, or he may say, oh, we can move January 1st, or we can't move to June 1st. And I think we have to decide at that point, is there a workable solution before we move to option two, then, if he hits the home run? But I think asking him to commit to that before they come and check us out, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm feeling like maybe that's asking too much of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think, you know, I'm not going to disagree. I just know we've tried this once before and got burnt, and so there's the risk of that again, that, you know, we have a 7-month option, and then, you know, 6 months into it, it gets terminated. So, but hopefully we can work
through that. It wasn't exactly the same. Ethan hadn't committed anything to us. He was a part of the process, and we drew it out, not him, as far as a lot of the at the front end of that. And then we gave him 2 weeks, and then he told us no.
Right, but if, you know, let's say Jason says yes, but then in 6 months later says, hey, things came up. I changed my mind. I can't do it. So,
well, yeah, what I'm saying is we don't do it that way. We work it out to where he starts to come. Maybe he comes by himself for, you know, 8 days at a time, 8 or 9 days out of the month, and he's still working his campus ministry till they're done. But he's coming here, preaches twice a month, and so he's already invested. We're already paying him part-time or something like that.
Okay.
And so he's invested in that. Or we may come up with something else more creative than that. I don't know.
Okay.
And I think, again, we probably highly could have the same situation with John.
Yeah, sure.
With his kids in school and wife's job. I mean, I just don't know. I mean, I just don't think we know enough until we're ready to move forward with one of the candidates. And then we sit down and work out the next 6 months, you know?
Right.
Okay. And so what time are we starting Saturday morning again, Steve?
We tend to start at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Well, I'm excited. I, you know, I think, you know, they both show well, at least on the videos, and I've watched their sermons, so I'm excited to have these guys in, and looking forward to for the weekends with them.
Just pause this for a minute. Does Nathan have the Zoom address to join us?
He was not going to, I don't think.
He chose not to join us, he said.
Okay, all right. Okay. All right, sorry.
So good.
Anything else you guys want to know, or any questions about anything with the two guys, candidates coming in?
Is communication to the congregation about the firmness of these timelines and these visits. Brett told him something's coming yesterday. And so how firm are these dates for both of them? So that is it this coming Sunday morning that we tell them exactly what's happening and when?
Yeah, we can. They're very firm. They both bought their plane tickets.
Okay. Yeah.
So, we communicated to them kind of the weekend flow of things over the weekend. So, okay. So it's firmed up.
Yeah.
Who are we bumping on the sermons for these next two, or those two?
It's working out pretty well. It's bumping Nathan. So then he's just going to do it the next week, which was my time. So I'm the one that's being bumped, and I can there'll be still plenty of times for me to preach. So, but then we got to look at what are we going to do on the 1st and the 8th. The 1st is Thanksgiving weekend. And what do we got to do about the giving as far as a giving sermon? So that's something that's not been nailed down yet. And then also I got in December, I've got, the 22nd, I have Jason Vincent. The 15th, I don't have anyone. I was thinking about asking Eric on that time. And then we get into the 5th of January, we don't have anybody. And that was planned on one of the elders or one of the elders. That could be one on the hospitality. And then the 12th is Logan Whalen. And I have nothing else after that. Still kind of waiting to see what happens with these two weekends.
Sure.
I'm open for any suggestions. Anybody wants them, give them to me now, or you can email them to me.
Okay. All right. Anything else on the candidates we need to talk about?
So who's coming? So I know that Jason, it's only him and his wife coming.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is John's kids coming as well? Or
yeah, John's kids are coming. Evan and Logan. Evan is 11. Logan is just turned 8 on Halloween, so both of the boys will be here. So
how are we going to handle these events that the husband and wife are to be at? Are the kids going to be there too? They're going to be
we had a conversation with John about that. So we're going to set them up in a room, adjacent room. They'll have some activities while their parents are interviewing on Sunday morning, Saturday. And so, yeah, he said they'll be fine. They got their Game Boys or whatever that they'll play.
And we've got a gymnasium for them, too.
So they get bored, we can definitely use the gymnasium.
Yeah.
What are the ages again?
11 and 8.
Yeah.
And so, ideally, we might have a couple of other people that age, you know, to hang out for a couple hours here or there. So don't have to, but that'd be kind of nice if that
could would be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff, how old is Ethan?
11.
11. Okay, that's good.
Okay. So,
as far as a mechanism for the congregation to give us feedback, there's meet and greet opportunities in here, and you know they're going to hear and preach and teach, and all that's good. And so, do we just say, you know, contact the elder of your choice with your feedback thoughts, or do we need to do anything different than that?
I've thought about that. I wonder, just giving them a specific survey with specific questions. I even thought about just having some, what do you call it, where you have round table where elders meet with different groups. I've even thought of that, but haven't really come up with something that was very good yet.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Yeah, my preference is just to have them send an email to an elder. I don't like the small group stuff, but I think it's better than nothing, but I'd prefer the emails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, tow truck's supposed to be here. I gotta go take care of that.
I like the informal mechanism as long as we feel like we get enough, you know, feedback. And if each of us only hears from one person, that's not much, but I can certainly imagine that we'll hear more than that just naturally, you know.
Well, I think, and we each have our own little circle of people that we can send an email to and say, hey, what'd you think, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that's good, Don.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing I would say about the group idea is that there's a lot of groupthink that's going to happen, and it's going to not be necessarily really clear because people are going to feed off of each other, but it may not be true. So that could definitely influence things
incorrectly.
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard. I hear you, Jeff. Sometimes it's hard to avoid the appearance that we are here to make the decision together. It's like, no, that's not quite it. We want to hear from you, but that whole decision piece is, you know, separate. So, yeah.
Okay. And again, I just want to take a moment just to thank Walker and Autry for all their work in this. And I really, you know, it's gone slow, but I really think this is in God's hands. And you know, I'm excited again about this weekend. So thank you guys for doing that.
Yeah. And I really believe God has given us two really good guys to choose from. I'm really excited about these two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to scroll back up then in the agenda. We finished that one. And I'm going to bounce around here a little bit, but I just wanted to spend 5 minutes on just Don's mentioned, you know, stepping down sometime. I don't know if you're talking mid next year, Don, and, you know, I guess two considerations. One is if you're an agent of the corporation, I don't know if Brad's got to do anything to help prepare for that transition, but also just wanted to get your thoughts on when you think you may want to make that transition.
Before he says anything, I would like to say that we reject anything he wants to do as far as retiring from Elder. I'm against it.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
No, I had no firm time. I just felt like I certainly wanted to be a good time. I don't want it to be at a bad time for the congregation, for sure.
Yeah.
So if that's, you know, if it's before a new minister starts, that's fine. If it's after, it's fine. It's just, I just really do think, again, I love serving with you guys. You guys are great. I have never, ever felt, you know, like I, you know, didn't want to be a part of this group or anything, but I just feel very strongly that as we grow older, I think, you know, there are certain tasks and duties that we grow less acute at. And I don't intend to change the way I pastor or shepherd or interact with people. But as far as being the elder that works with you guys to set vision and policy or whatever you want to call it, or just, you know, those types of things, I think, you know, I think there's a time that we should all consider, you know, passing that baton to the younger generation and just those of clearer thought. And I still think I'm fairly sane, but, you know, I can tell that I'm losing a step here and there and things. And I don't want to ever be somebody that would pull down the effectiveness of our elders. So I just think it's probably time. And, you know, I'll certainly do anything that you guys ask me to do and serve any way that I can. But I just feel pretty strongly about that, you know, I watched too many elderships and elders that tried to hang on too long. And it just got, you know, it's not good for either side there. So I think just to make a step when I have the clear capabilities and clear thought to do it, you know. So, like I said, I'm going to continue to shepherd and love people and serve people, you know, hopefully for many, many years. And again, would do anything for you guys and will speak only boldly for you guys, you know. So, so I don't have a hard date. But okay. I think hopefully it'll come clear as to when the best time would be for the congregation.
All right.
Well, I think they're really shocked or anything. But.
Yeah. Well, you've done this for a long time. You've been doing great.
I saw a thing that Chris Borth made for all the three elders when we first were installed at Mid-County, Ron and Dale and I, and it was a plaque, and on the back of the plaque it had the date. It was August 20th, 1989.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
last 35 years, yeah.
Yeah, well done. Well, we won't rush it. I just wanted to make sure that I, you know, I've heard you say it a couple times, just want to make sure that we keep that in our mind so that transition happens sometime next year.
No, I appreciate that. And I think as far as any changes, I am the current president, so, you know, it would just be electing a new slate of officers and,
okay,
and you know, check signers and all that kind of stuff. That I don't think there's anything major beyond that, and I don't think those are any big deals. Brad is the wizard when it comes to that.
Yeah,
I know he's permanently muted here or something. But, I don't think he would have any trouble changing any of that.
Great. All right. Well, we will.
Don, I do want to encourage you, and I appreciate, you know, your sentiments and supportive of what you want to do, and have been grateful for your example for a long time. I do feel like hearing this and knowing that this has, you know, been on your heart for a little while, that after we get a new lead minister installed, depending, as long as that's a reasonable timeline, sometime after that, would probably be best, right on the surface. That's an impression I have, if we can think in those terms. But then when, you know, lots of flexibility, I hear you. Ideally, I don't see an advantage to that happen earlier. It seems like it would add to all the transition going on. And so if that's an element we can do after somebody gets started, you know, full time.
No, I appreciate that. I will mention to you guys, I don't know if we told you or not, but one of the last meetings with Ethan, with Jeff Kreider and I, when we were going over salary and all that kind of stuff, one of the last questions he asked, he says, "Now, are any of you elders going to resign as soon as I start?" So it sends a message. We've got to be careful, too, because it will send a message to the new guy that we don't, you know, I don't want to send either. So that was just one thought I had about, even before they start, you know, maybe talking to them, just to let them know this is a already planned thing, and you know, just so that doesn't blindside them.
The one thing I throw out there is the way Keaton has served, and I think maybe we even come up with a new title for it, because Keaton, he was a shepherd for so long, but he still is a shepherd. I mean, he comes up and he talks to me every Sunday. He talks to multiple people. He still is out there, and I think, Don, you'll be probably the same exact way. Then we would just, I don't know, call you guys shepherd emeritus or something. And then that way it would make that new preacher coming on think differently. Because if you come on as a new person and all the shepherds start leaving, or I guess what, I'm Don. And they think, well, Don was against me coming on. That's definitely the problem. But if we say that you're sort of transitioning to the next level of shepherd, that may be a, and we even put it in our document or something, or in the details on the website or something, that it makes it clear that you're still here and you're just not doing the day in, day out job of the shepherd, as sort of Keaton fits into that status too. Of course, he gets on people's roofs and does work wherever he can possibly do it still, but it's one of those things that I think that trying to build a new level is a something that we probably should do, the same way that Ross and I sit as sort of a different level as well, that we're not really officials, but we're sort of accepted into the circle on some levels. And so it's sort of like you're sort of switching to the next level up.
Good. And Dave, one of the things that Don mentioned prompted me. So the salary proposal, the ballpark figures, did you get those out for Jason and John?
I did not, and I was going to ask for the current, if either of those asked for that, or, you know, do I need to provide something during their visit at this stage? I didn't put anything soft together that could be sent to them. They both agreed to interview without needing that, and I hadn't crunched all their years of experience versus our formula and such. Have not done that yet. What do you guys think would be the best for them?
I think the candidate that I wouldn't want to send a wrong message to a candidate. So if they both are coming for an interview, I think we make a decision which guy, if one of the guys, we decide we want to hire one of the guys, then I think we put together a package for him. I wouldn't want to put the package together for both of them because that sent a message that maybe that we may not want to send, only because if we're not going to, if we're not sold on to hire the guy, I don't want to send a false impression that he's still under consideration. So I think if we, at the end of the day, if we have a candidate that we really, really want to focus on, I think we send that salary information to that one candidate only. Okay.
Sounds good. All right. Well, let me move up on the agenda. And Mr. Walker, I've got 10 minutes down here, but if you can be brief, I know we've started late and we've kind of running on, but yeah. I wanted to give you time. You know, you're starting a new position. Just want to see how that's going. If there's any, wild cards that got thrown your way, things we need to think about, what's going well, what's going not, or, you know, how's it going for you?
Yeah, so what we've been doing is really getting to know one another. We're spending some one-on-one time, right? So with Elizabeth, Tom, Kaylin, Nathan primarily, and just developing this whole working relationship trust. Right? We already had a level of trust in another capacity. This is a new capacity for both of us, for all of us, rather. And so we're developing that. And that time has really been good because I believe that there's some things that's come out of our discussion that can help me understand a little bit better of how they see themselves, how they see themselves contributing, how I can help them, you know, to maximize that. And so so just a couple of things. Tom is working on a potential rebate with Ameren on the unit that we installed in June. And so we still have a window for the rebate, so we're beginning to work through that process. And Kaylin, she just came, well, I think she got back yesterday from a worship workshop in Little Rock. She was there with Marion and Carrie Strickland, and that went really well. I got a text from her that things were going well there, so pretty excited to hear what she take away from that and how that might be able to help us to be better at what we're doing in our worship service. So, and we're focusing also on team building. And one of the projects we got is that we're going to have an Enneagram workshop, and we're going to do that in December. So pretty excited about that. I think that will help us in a number of ways in terms of understanding how we communicate, how we look at projects. And so I'm excited about that. Just a quick review of the next steps project. We have a couple things lined up with San and Josie, and Diana is going to be introduced on Sunday. There's other things, but I mean, I know time is brief. I can go on, but I want to be respectful of the time.
Yeah, that's good. So how's the hours working for you? Is this the 20 hours seem to be okay? And
no, it wasn't 20. It was 25.
25, right, yeah. 25. Yeah.
And the first couple of weeks, I probably did about 27, 28 a week. And I anticipate the first probably 4 weeks or so, probably more hours just trying to get in here and just get connected to the people, the projects, and understanding what this role really is. And so, so I would say probably 25 to 28 in the beginning would be probably the number of hours.
Okay. Thank you, brother. And Mr. McGlon, I think the same thing for you is, you know, you've been interim since April, and you've also, this is probably an incomplete list. You are on the Sunday AV team, your small group leader, Christian formation team, your mission team. You got a lot going on. And how's it going for you? How's your time and everything else? How's your burden?
Generally good. I think all of them are going pretty consistently and keeping up with them. And so I know if I just run through my list. So the AV team, we transitioned to the ProPresenter 7 that we had talked about. We are considering right now getting another computer to make it a little bit more smoother. It's been glitchy, not really glitchy, but just sort of a memory hog, or more than the old program we were using. just because of the age of our computer. And so we're currently considering that. And then also updating the streaming app that we're currently using. Small group, it's going good. Brett is the best student that we have. So, we've been doing Chosen. So it's been very easy on my load because I don't have to prepare anything. I just press play on the thing and it plays away. Christian formation. So I've been getting back into that. So from April until probably about a month ago, 2 months ago, Jeff had been here. So I had told Jeff that I'm just going to let it be yours. And so then, like Jeff Kreider, so when he retired, then at that point, I'm like, well, I better step back in and try to keep some consistency there amongst the group. And it's been good. So, I mean, Tim Nicholson and Betty and Jeff Fogarty have been there. So we have some good thoughts. And so I think that that's generally going okay. And so we have some plans for the new year. And so I know we talked about that in the last meeting a little bit. Missions, just positive things, I think, because we helped to be a big contributor to France, which has been very positive. And Fogarty is going to Mauritius next week. So it, sort of in our name, as he's going there to help them out and see what he can do there. So children's just continuing strong, I think. So we... the next gen and children. So we ran the trunk or treat last week. So that was super positive. I mentioned that on Sunday that we had probably over 100 people from the community that were involved in it. So that was definitely really good, as well as about 100 people from our membership. So just lots of positive things that went on. Got rid of a lot of the thing. And historically, we've been trying to get rid of the things that are more negative of trunk or treat. And so this year we continued pretty strong with that. And none of our trunks were negative. So we didn't have any bad pagan-like things with any of them. We did have some costumes, of course, but they were usually not people from our congregation. So that's good.
I really liked, that has evolved into our largest community event of the year. And using that as a catalyst to share the Christmas schedule, having that together, I kudos on that. I really think that helps leverage that event and the direction that you're nudging it. I feel really good about that. And so, you know, there are some things to be cautious about, Halloween and all of that, how much you promote it. And I think you've got some really good ideas that showed out this year, the way it was done. So.
Yeah, and one of the other things, Dave, that I'll mention on that is Nathan and I and Steve have been talking a little bit about next year already in transitioning even more from that. We're actually getting rid of the names of Trunk or Treat and Chili Cook-Off to become a fall festival. So it'll be named Fall Festival altogether. It'll have both of the two events sort of there, but it'll sort of make it where it's much more fall-like. The other piece of it is that we will move it to a Saturday. So it will lead us to the ability to say, hey, come back tomorrow, as opposed to saying, come back next week. It's the closest. And by that point, they've already forgot who we are. So,
fair enough. Fair enough.
And then the Advent thing, we've also put up signs around the lobby with our flyer out there for tomorrow. So, so as people come in, they'll see that Advent sign, but then they'll also be able to pick up a flyer if they want to remember when they leave to do that. So without sort of telling them, it's sort of there.
Yeah.
For the voting.
Super. Good. Yeah, I know we've just been leaning on you hard for a while, Jeff. Just wanted to make sure that you're doing okay. I know you got big shoulders, but just wanted to check in.
Nope, doing okay, I think. And that's what I've told Steve a couple of times, that it's just like I'm sort of in rhythm. So it's, especially with the children's things, it just, it makes it easy to just keep doing the same things over and over.
Well, you're doing well. Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah. All right, now. Are we in a... position to talk about hospitality, or is that something we want to push off till next meeting in 2 weeks? I don't think it's an urgent item, but I just want to make sure we give it a time that it needs.
Yeah, let's, why don't we wait with the situation with us Zooming and everything getting towards the end. I would, we can just wait because I'm not really prepared to say much other than whoever wrote that stuff out did a good job. Who wrote that?
That was Brett.
Yeah.
Good job. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I think it's something we need to get into, but it looks like, you know, with the candidates coming in, you know, it's not like it's going to be something we're going to be able to start right away anyway. We're going to be hands full, but I do want to make sure that we give it the attention it needs. Maybe we should wait till the next meeting then, and I'll just put that on the agenda.
Okay.
Great. Just let me go back to a couple quick ones. So I just wanted to again confirm that, you know, with when Kreider was here, he had a lot of latitude, but with new ministers starting, again, we just talked about making sure that the elders get a chance to review and understand what the calendar is going to be, the classes, the sermon series, and the budgets, that that's kind of the expectation for, you know, the new minister starting out. So I don't know.
You should have a draft. I'll be happy to talk about this next week, next meeting. But it's a final draft, but not a final calendar that we have available. There's still some tweaking that needs to be done to it, but and we can talk about it the next meeting.
Yeah, let me just hold on. I can give you a minute on it if I can find it. Is that it, Steve?
It's not there yet.
It's not.
There you go.
Okay, so it just took a while. Okay.
The color coding would be a little bit confusing because I made some updates to the calendar that were not on the calendar. So don't just disregard the color coding. I'm going to change that around anyway. But as you can see, and what's in red was those dates were a little flexible, but those have been firmed up to like the March event for the marriage seminar originally was the 22nd of March, but that's been moved to the 15th. So I think the thing that I wanted to point out is that we're not doing the mystery meal this year, but we substituted the variety show for that. And so that's been included in that date. There's three potential dates for that. So that's why that's in red. And so that's, you know, that's something new for this year, but it was something that was part of what we did in the years past. And then the other piece, I think, just for us to be aware of is that the 1st of February is the area-wide leadership conference again at McKnight. So just for you guys to be aware of that. You know, that's when Cyber was here last year. That's just another similar event, so that you're aware of that. And so
I can give you a little bit about that real quick. Is it looks like we're getting Jim Martin coming in. He used to be the vice president at Harding that we worked with our graduate program in Memphis. Just a really good guy, great guy, and looks like him coming in and in looking at last year's, it was too many people coming in with too much information, and we wanted to just have one guy, maybe two guys coming in and be able to deal with some things that would be very practical that elders would like to talk about. When this last January, Carson Reed talked about 30 minutes on something that we wanted to spend an hour and a half on, but he had to hurry on because he had four other people that were there from Abilene. And so that's one of the changes we'll make, but it's excited about it on Saturday, the February 1st.
That's I'm looking forward to that, Steve. And I think I wanted just to share this with you guys in terms of there's like three areas of emphasis that seem to be emerging, and one is being driven by the elders, that's hospitality. The other is going to be driven really by the staff and whole congregation really is, and that's next gen. And then the third piece is community. How do we engage with the community? And so
we're looking for events on the calendar and how we can do a better job of that, right? And so there's a couple of events that's already been identified, how we can do a better job of engaging the community and inviting them to come and see. And so we'll talk more about that, but those are the areas of emphasis. And if we buy into those areas of emphasis, it would be nice to communicate that to the congregation, you know? So that's a quick snapshot of the calendar and some of the thought process behind
it. Great. Thank you.
You may have talked about this when I was out doing a tow truck thing. Did we talk about communicating to the church and how we were going to communicate to them about the next 2 weeks after that? Maybe even show a picture of the families coming in, or did we talk about that?
Not in that much detail. We just, Dave wanted to make sure we had firmed up the dates. And so we, at least on Sunday, we wanted to communicate the dates and the different maybe activities that they should expect to be a part of as congregation.
Yeah.
But the pictures, we can provide those if that's something you guys want to do.
Okay. And who's doing the Shepherd's Prayer or on this coming Sunday?
I don't know that offhand. We're working with Kreider in terms of he's going to introduce Dinah. He and Becky work with Dinah Hale.
Okay.
And so he's going to introduce her. And then we're still, you know, Kaylaine is out until Wednesday, so we go finalize some of that stuff up in the next couple of days.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it might be me.
No.
I'm looking at the planning app, and I think it shows me.
Okay. Great. So we'll, I guess, who do we get those pictures to? Do we have those pictures?
Their website we can maybe download.
Yeah. Okay. And then we've got to talk to the ministry leaders and invite them to the each Saturday night.
Yeah, I'll take care of that. I'll get that started tomorrow now that we're firm on it.
Well, I'm sure glad we've got an administrative minister now.
All right, guys, and I think
there's one other thing I want to share with the group.
So
I didn't get much into the pastoral part of the job that I'm doing here, but I did meet with Ben Maringer, and some interesting things came out of the conversation. One, he's doing a great job. He's probably one of the more active people on that team. But he shared a couple of things. One is related to the actual ministry. The others are kind of related to him in terms of his, you know, where he's at spiritually, which you guys need to know about this. Couple of consequences of the ministry I had not thought about is that when you're meeting with some of these people, some of them you don't get a lot of feedback from. And unfortunately, some of them have been called home in terms of, you know, Bob Connolly, you know, Lewis West. And so, and that's taken a bit of a toll on them. You know, it's carrying that around a bit. So just want you guys to be aware of that. And, you know, just want to encourage him as much as you can. But the other thing that was a little bit concerning was that, he shared a couple of things about his interaction with his huddle group and his small group. And there was some disagreement on a couple of issues in relationship to this whole gender discussion. And he thought he would be more aligned with a couple of brothers that he had the discussion with. And he felt that he really wasn't aligned well with them in terms of what they thought about it. And had a similar incident with another group in terms of discussion about just reading material, like books being banned. And so what his conclusion was is I need to step away from those groups for a while. Because I don't, and he said, it's the really odd thing is that I'm more aligned with some of my friends outside of the body than I'm aligned with the people inside of the body. So I want to share that with you guys so that if you have an opportunity to sit down and talk with him, I think it'll be very good that he hears from us and realize that, hey, you know what? We love you, brother. You know, so so anyway, I just want you guys to know that.
Good. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Steve. And that kind of transitions into the people part of the meeting. And so we want to keep Ben in our prayers. He's just a good brother. But is there anybody else that we need to be thinking about?
Well, Jerry Mickey continues to really struggle. I haven't heard. He was in the hospital last week, and then I think it's still a lot of issues around the pain in his ankles. He can hardly walk, and he's still really struggling quite a bit. And I think any kind of encouragement that we can give him and Brenda right now will go a long way. He just doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
So far hasn't gotten a lot of answers.
Anything else?
Has anybody had any connection with the Warings lately? Jamie and Pat?
Mm-mm. No.
I haven't either. they were bringing grandkids, you know, faithfully for a bit and come and go. I know it's really burdensome on them. And just haven't seen them for a while.
Every time I go down by their house, I just think about them and just thinking what the burden they have and have no idea what I can do just to kind of help them at all.
Okay. Anything else? Well, I don't want to keep us any longer. We've got a couple open items that we'll push to the next meeting. But again, let's just be praying about Jason and John coming in and just for those weekends. And again, that's exciting. Don, would you close us out in a prayer?
Sure. Father, we are very grateful for just the way you continue to bless us, and thankful for this meeting tonight, and grateful for the planning that has gone before it, with Brett and Steve and others that have kept us on track and just hopefully dealing with the things that we need to be dealing with. And we just pray your blessings upon this church that more than anything else, Father, we want this church to be a beacon in this community of hope for people to really see and be drawn to. Help us to, as we continue to try to navigate all the things that the world throws at us, and just pray that you'll give us wisdom and discretion, spiritual wisdom, just to make the right decisions that are appropriate and best for this community of faith. And particularly as we search for a new minister, we just pray that you'll bless these next few weeks as we, as a church, listen to these men that come and their families to apply for that position. And we just pray that you'll give us wisdom on making those decisions, and our congregation open ears and hearts, really listen, and then be willing to give feedback. And just we just pray for a clear direction, Father, that you'll give us in that. we lift up to you, Jerry Mickey, and just pray for healing for him and such a dear brother. And he struggled for quite a while now, and just pray that you'll bring him some comfort and freedom from the pain, and just a solution to this problem that he's got with his feet. And with Brenda, she's just been such a great helpmate to him. And bless her and give her strength. We do are mindful of the Warings and just know the stress that they're under, and give them, you know, just the comfort and release and peace, as they are just doing such a wonderful thing to raise those children and try to point them in the right direction. And Father, for so many others in our church, for Whitney Cannon and carrying those twins, just give her health, and just pray that that will be a healthy delivery, and the other babies that we're expecting, and just again for comfort and health to those moms. Help us to, Lord, just continue as a church to be willing and able to serve each other in any way that we can. And I just pray for these guys, and I'm so grateful to be working with them. And help us all, Father, to seek your will in all that we do, and continue to work for just the right things at McKnight Crossings. We love you, Father, and are grateful for Jesus, and it's in his name that we pray these things tonight. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Dave, one more thing. Dave, I've been out of town. I know they were the last thing for CFS for the Cannons. They were supposed to call CFS and talk with the social worker. Have they done that?
Yes, and they Eric suggested there may be this A2A grant that with up and with during pregnancy and a little after, and so they did follow up, but I don't know the result of that. I gave them the number and the connection name Taylor, and they have done that, but then I don't know if anything's going to come about yet. About them, I did want to tell you guys that we've got a good lead on a van, minivan for them. Some of you might know that Michael works moonlights at a funeral home that his uncle runs, and that guy is trimming down his fleet, and he's going to sell what sounds like a pretty solid minivan to Michael. I know of a couple of folks that are interested in helping to fund that purchase, and so... Yeah. You guys have given me a couple of names, but do you want me to just call and email those folks that I know of to start gathering that, or explore their interest, or what do we do?
I have one guy that said he would be interested in helping. He didn't give a number or anything. Yeah. So if you'll let me know, I can let him know.
Okay. I'll give you some particulars. I'll send you an email, and then you air it and say, and I gave Elizabeth a heads up that, you know, we might get some benevolence donations for that purpose, and then but I'll take care of buying the vehicle and, you know, get reimbursed by benevolence for other people want to contribute, but I wanted to get that moving. And that was very promising. I had a really good meeting with Michael on Saturday, and he's open to some ongoing, you know, coaching that Steve Walker and I have tried to get going with he and Brian. Michael's still open to that and want to get that in place. So, and then I wanted to ask about the roof, that side of the gym. Every one of those three rooms has a leak now. Is that why we're meeting by Zoom?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons we're meeting by. The primary reason is that the election crew took most all of the tables, and we were going to originally meet in the office, but those rooms, Brett actually went on the roof, and he thought maybe he kind of solved some of that problem because there was some drainage issues up there. It was leaves around some of the drainage issues.
That was news that side of the gym. I didn't know if we had an urgency there or what. So
it was leaking pretty badly, but before the meeting, it had slowed down a bit after Brett went up on the roof and did what he needed to do, so the leak's slowing down. So
great. Well, thanks for doing that, Brett.
Yeah, and I'm off tomorrow. Yeah. I'm going to get back up there tomorrow just to take another look with the sun out, so I'll take a look.
Okay, good. I didn't think that addition roof was getting that old already, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
already. So. Hmm.
But it's been leaking since I've been here, I know. So every time we've had a hard rain, it's leaked, at least since April. And I know some of the other rooms had leaked even before that. So.
Yeah. Hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brett. Okay. Thank you. Hey, Brett, one last thing.
Yeah.
They were talking about needing a power washer to wash that fence as you come in the main entrance. And I've got a power washer. I was going to come do it sometime. But do we need to get the okay from the neighbor to do that?
No, I actually washed it this past couple of days. So I'm very anti power wash. I've never liked those things. So I just got out there with a bucket of soapy water and just rubbed it down. So, and I need to. I'll look at it again tomorrow.
It was dirty this morning when I.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll. I sprayed it 2 days ago and then I wiped it down today. So I put. Okay.
Well, that's what I. Yeah. I told Alec. I said you might be able to just get a bleach.
That's exactly what I did. I went out there with a hand pumper with bleach water and I sprayed it on there. And then tonight I went back there and I just wiped it down.
Yeah. Okay. Cause I didn't feel comfortable going out there with somebody else's fence and
power
doing
washing,
something.
Yeah.
So if I need to, let me know if I need to do anything with you. With
I'm going to look, look at it tomorrow just to see how it looks, but it looked like, again, the sun wasn't up, but it looked like it got most of it.
Okay. Good. Good. All right.
All right. Thank you, guys.
See you, gentlemen.